So this week, the Old Testament reading comes from Amos. Last week it did as well. This week's reading picked up where last week's reading left off. Last week's reading ended with the promise that sons would fall by the sword and that women would become prostitutes. I confess that when I was preparing last week's sermon, I was reading through the first reading and I thought, oh yeah, Old Testament prophets, fire and brimstone. Oh look, the gospel reading is the Good Samaritan. I'll preach on that. But then a couple of you came to me after last week and said, you know, Pastor, that first reading was a little intense. Did you notice the death and destruction in it? So since you asked, let's talk about Amos. This week's reading starts with a vision of a basket of summer fruit. And as I was telling a few of you before the worship service, this is actually a very clever pun. In Hebrew, the word for fruit, kayetz, is very similar to the word for end, ketz. And so God is, where we use puns to make jokes, God is actually using a pun to announce a message of judgment. The people have gone bad, like peaches that have become overripe and are turning to compost on the kitchen counter. Things are so bad, in fact, that the prophet announces, there will be many bodies. Be silent. And then the reading ends with God promising God's own silence. In the midst of the disaster, the people will seek a word from the Lord. They will offer thoughts and prayers heavenward, but God will not speak. When they seek a word to shape their repentance, they will find the divine storehouse bare. When they fall to their knees hoping for a promise of forgiveness, they will find that the supply line has run dry. It will be a famine, Amos announces. Not of bread, not a thirst for water, but a famine of the word of the Lord. Because God is done with invitations, God is done with warnings, God is done with opportunities for redemption, God is just done. Now, I suspect that one reason a few of you came and said, wow, Amos was weird, we should talk about that. I suspect that this comes as a really strange message because most of us have grown up hearing that God is love and that God is always here and that we can, no matter the circumstances, take it to the Lord in prayer. After all, doesn't Jesus himself tell Martha in today's gospel reading that Mary has chosen the better part in sitting with him in conversation? So how in the world can it possibly be good news that this very same God chooses to deal with his people, at least at one time, by not talking at all, ending the conversation? It's worth it, I think, to take a look inside this Amos reading to figure out what's prompting this particular step for God. In this passage that Larry just read for us, and in Amos generally, God is outraged by a very particular set of circumstances, namely the way people set up their economic systems so that poor people get squeezed at every opportunity. And God is angry at how the rich will similarly take every opportunity to make themselves even richer. They will make the ephah small and the shekel great, Amos charges. When a poor farmer brings what he believes to be 15 ephahs, which is about a bushel, of wheat to market, the merchants will ring their measures so those 15 ephahs ring out at 13.5. When a woman needs a pair of shoes, they'll set the price a shekel above what she can pay. The price is firm, ma'am. But if you can't pay the whole price today, I'll let you take the shoes home. You can have them on credit. You can work off your debt by laboring in my fields for free. And God has had it. with this way of doing. It's not just that God is upset with the way individual interactions go between one person and another. Say the way I act sometimes when I head over to Cummings for coffee and I'm stopped by someone looking for a dollar. No, Amos's God, our God, is more interested in the systems that crush people and the layers of beliefs and practices that allow some to flourish and have their freedoms and make their money while others suffer and are crushed. God cares so deeply about this, so much so that when people just choose not to care and not to see, God just stops the conversation. It's as if his God is saying, you like deprivation? All right, I'll give you a deprivation of my word. What Amos is presenting to us here, I think, is who God really is. Amos is trying to get us to see that God is not going to pretend to have a conversation with people who say, yeah, I mean, we heard all that stuff you said about equity and justice and the commandments, but God, I'm sure you know how the world works, so let me just give you my prayer list and sing you a couple of my favorite hymns. You got to know who your God is, Amos is saying. Because to talk with God, to seek God's word, is to be in relationship with God. And a relationship with God is like any relationship. For it to be real, it has to be authentic. And to be authentic, you need to know who the one you're in relationship with truly is. There's no being in an authentic relationship with God without knowing who God is and caring about the things God cares about. For those who don't seek God's interest, yes, this will only come as a word of judgment. But for those who are crushed, who've been ground up through systems who layer by layer dehumanize them, by those who wish to see a great reformation in those practices that see people simply as fodder for an economy, it's good news that God gets fed up. This past week, I read an article in the Washington Post about families in Uvalde whose children were injured, not killed, but injured in the school shooting there. You can see the layers of systems at work that are crushing them now. First of all, there's the deadly reality of the injuries. Then there was the layer of the fact that a lot of these families work jobs that don't have health insurance or who have bad insurance, so that there are medical bills galore. Then there's the need to be out of work to care for children who've been traumatized because they cannot sleep or function. And then there are the layers of social distrust because of government failures. So people are saying, I'm burning through my savings. I don't know what I'm going to do. With Amos's words ringing in my ears, it occurs to me it's good news that God gets fed up with this kind of thing because it means that God is on their side. That God will act in the long term with their best interests in mind. And that God will not put up with a spirituality and religion that thinks that this kind of suffering is just part of life. God's anger burns so hot in the prophets because God wants so much more for us than all of this. God wants so much more for all people. These hard words that appear in the scriptures and sometimes land in our Sunday morning services that sound so wrathful don't come because God is fundamentally that way, but because God's love is so big and so generous and so passionate that it just convulses when it encounters human beings resisting that love. When it discovers human beings being ground into dust. The word from Amos is that God just simply won't have it in the end. On his cross, Jesus became like the poor and the crushed of the earth, like the families in Uvalde, like the poor sold for silver and the needy bought for a pair of sandals. Jesus was crushed by the systems of his time, the powerful and the dominant. When he was laid in the tomb on Friday, darkness descended and God was silent. For all of Holy Saturday, there was a famine of the word of God. No word, no vision, just a famine. God did not speak. But God will not allow suffering to triumph in the end. God raised him up and spoke a new word on Easter, a word of life. Easter is God's decisive word to the powers of death and human sinfulness that God just simply will not cooperate with them. God will not continue the conversation with things as they are. Instead, God intends to do a brand new thing that brings life. By the power of the Spirit, that new thing that Jesus does comes to you and me. And by the power of the resurrection, a relationship is given back to us to have with God, to speak and converse, and indeed bring it to the Lord in prayer with that one thing needful, a deep and abiding relationship with God who is fed up with the powers of death. A God who's done with oppressing people and insists that we care right along with him. What we take in prayer, in speaking and listening, in seeking a word from the Lord, we take to that God and to no other, which indeed makes it a word of God and a word of life. Amen.